Hi, everyone. I know recently we announced we were going to 2 episodes a week and then 3 episodes a week. But you know what? There are just too many episodes. So we are going to back to 5 episodes a week. Still a reduction from 7, but there were just too many interviews scheduled, and I didn't want to make all the authors wait for too long. So I hope you can keep up with me. Listen to 1 a week as you're on your way to work or on your way home or putting your kids to bed or whatever it is you're doing. Moms don't have time to read books now 5 times a week.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now. Thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at ZibbyOwens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the Zcast Podcast Network. You can learn more at ZcastNetwork.com, and definitely check out those shows as well. I hope you'll all check out the all-new Zibby Mag, ZIBBYMAG, the literary lifestyle destination with essays, book news, a lit lifestyle feature, and even some classes. Check it out, ZibbyMag.com. Kylie Letty is the author of The Perfect Other, a memoir of my sister. Kylie received her bachelor's degree from Boston College and her MSW from Columbia University in advanced clinical practice and public policy. In 2019, she won the New York Times Modern Love College Essay Contest for a piece she wrote about grieving her sister, Kate. Her work has appeared in various publications, including the New York Times, Parents, and The Cut. She is based in New York City, and The Perfect Other is her first book. Welcome, Kylie. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss The Perfect Other, a memoir of my sister.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm a big fan of the podcast.
Oh, Kylie, I really loved this book. You're a beautiful writer. I can't believe you wrote it when you were 23, right?
Yeah. I started writing it when I was 22 and I finished at 23.
Oh my gosh. A heartbreaking yet inspiring story. Why don't you tell listeners a little bit about why you decided to make your personal story with your sister Kate and your family? And oh my gosh, I want to meet your mom after all this. Like, I feel so attached. Talk a little about, you know, why you decided to make it into a book and what the crux of the story really is.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone always says that I'm mom. I think it's so cute. She is the best. She's my best friend. So yeah. But yeah, no. So how this came about basically was that in 2019, I was a senior at Boston College and I submitted to the Modern Love New York Times essay contest, just kind of on a whim, not thinking much of it. And I ended up winning the contest when it was actually my senior week. So of college, I was graduating. And it just launched me into this path where I had this opportunity to start drafting this book, you know, agents reaching out to me. And I realized I had some of it already written, honestly, over the course of my own personal writing. And it came together pretty organically. Got the book deal that fall with Hachette originally. And then we, you know, mergers, acquisitions, the whole lot. And ended up at HarperCollins. And yeah, it's been a journey. But the book itself is about my sister, who was 6 years older than me, kind of our relationship. It's about sisterhood. It's about grief, about mental illness, about love. And it's really about her struggle with her mental health and how to escalate over the years into head traumas and eventually schizophrenia. So it's really kind of looking back and trying to take this, you know, perspective in the past and see all the signs we didn't see the time and how these behavioral issues start and they can spiral into something like this. And it's about her. Eventually she committed suicide. So it's also about grief. And the second half is really about kind of coming out of that experience.
Well, I'm so sorry for everything that you went through. And she did sound like such an amazing older sister and your relationship was so special. I was really interested in the head traumas that she went through, and you described them in the book in detail, and how once she was sneaking out of her bedroom and fell from the second floor and kind of brushed it off and went off to the party. Another time she fell from a couple steps when maybe somebody was hugging her. You're not sure what happened, but that required literally like opening up her scalp and the subhematoma, whatever, I don't have the right language, bleeding inside the brain. And your hypothesis, in the book, you're clearly grappling with what is it? Was the schizophrenia, should we have seen it coming all along? Like, were these signs were they something else? Were the head traumas what caused it? Can head traumas cause it? Even the PCOS that you mentioned, was that a contributor? You know, I feel like you're trying so hard to untangle how it could have happened. And did you miss something? And what were the contributing forces? And there obviously is no clear answer, right? But where do you land on all of that?
Yeah, exactly. I think honestly, looking back and once I've tried to put it all together and you know, originally when I was drafting it, I had a working title as Signs We See, because I was thinking of it as like the signs of mental health, but also in the grief section is kind of signs that someone is still with you and recovering in that sense as well. But I think honestly, we unfortunately had a perfect storm. I think there are probably a lot of factors contributing to it. You mentioned PCOS, which is a hormonal disorder. That was definitely probably something that couldn't have helped anything. And then we had the head traumas, which I think that my mom and I, our theory basically is that if it weren't for the head traumas, we probably could have managed it better. Uh-huh. And maybe they just kind of sent her over the edge. Like it could have been something that we hadn't had, you know, medication for, we had therapy for, but instead it was just this, I don't know, this kind of last straw. And I do think like, especially on this podcast, when, you know, you're talking to moms and it just, you're looking at, everyone wants their kid to be happy and healthy, and no one wants something like this to happen. So I think for me in writing the book was trying to piece together these facts and look at how could something like this be avoided in the future, whether that's prevention or just better treatments or more empathy, less stigma. And I have had a lot of people reach out to me in the process, just telling me their own stories and seeing how prevalent it still is.
The aftermath when you had to deal with, I mean, you were still young when this all happened and had to deal with the, you know, the regular school of canceling a birthday party with your friends and having them be annoyed about it or being upset with your moodiness or just typical teenage hijinks, which you were carrying so much more. And then immediately like having to write about something at school and having to answer those questions and the guy at college who put you on the spot, who was like, well, do, you know, you told some people you had a sister and you told other people that you didn't, like, what's up, you know? And it's so, I just, my heart kind of broke for you in all of these moments. And also just, there was, you know, some anger too, right? How are people so insensitive? And how, like, I wish there had been more protection around you. I feel like you were so just out there and exposed. And I guess that is the way it is all the time with grief, but even more so with you being young, that you had to go through all of this with this complete lack of sensitivity, particularly from your school. And I don't know how you feel about it now looking back, but I don't know, reading it as a, you know, as a neutral third party, it just was sort of horrifying to me.
Yeah. You know, I think honestly, like we just don't know how to handle grief as a society still. I don't know if we have like the language around it. And for suicide, especially, I mean, it has so much stigma around it. People just, they hear that word and they just back away. Yeah. It's not like a good opener. So I think, I understand. I don't think it's like necessarily like malicious intentions behind it. Usually I think it's really just this lack of being able to help. Like it's like helplessness. Like, how do I help my friend who's going through this? How do I, you know, how do I help a student going through this? Like there's not a lot of answers there. So yeah, it definitely was hard. And then, you know, you write a memoir at 22 about it. So
just
make it weirder.
You kept coming back to the fact that Kate disappeared, right? This is in the opening, so I'm not giving anything away, but that there had been visions of her on the Benjamin Franklin Bridge wearing the red coat. And then suddenly in the next room, she was not there. And by the way, the Reddit part, I just like could not believe that scene. I don't, you know, anyway, I'll leave that for readers. But you come back to there not being an answer, right? Her body was not found and there is no final resolution. And you kind of hinted at a few times, hoping that what if she were to just show up, you know, what if that was her? What was that random neighbor? Could it be her? And I know you said I had just sent you bookends, but my best friend Stacy died in the 9/11 attacks, and not to compare at all, but just that there's no body to bury. Like the rituals of grief, but when you go through that and you lay the body to rest and you have the funeral and you say goodbye, and there's some finality and closure to that when you have a loss with someone just literally like disappearing into thin air. It's much harder, or I mean, it's all hard and terrible. There's not harder, but there is a particular way of trying to wrap your mind around how that could possibly be and then how you just move forward from that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting too. Like even when I was writing the book, I'd have like these nightmares, not nightmares, just dreams. My sister would be like alive and she'd come and she'd be like, why'd you write this book saying I was dead? Like, I'm here. Like, you know, it's still like, even when you know something and even though you have that intellectual proof, you don't have the physical proof, like you said. And it just, I think it just delays the healing process so much. And I also think, I was telling my mom about this recently, actually. It's just like, I think that our society used to experience a lot of death, unfortunately, like not a lot of natural causes, a lot more illnesses, a lot more tragedies. And we had better coping mechanisms around it, you know, more language around it. I mean, we had like widow's walks and stuff. I mean, people like, it was so common. Nowadays, which is really good, it's so much less common that people just don't know how to handle it, especially young people. So, you know, I think like just trying to normalize it and being like, this is a tragedy and it happened, but it doesn't make you different or, you know, any more damaged. It's just part of life, unfortunately.
Ugh, I mean, the scene when you were graduating, I guess, and then somebody was like, oh, how is your sister? What's she up to? And in the moment you just made something up because like, how do you handle a moment like that? And then you felt so guilty about it. And then you kept digging, just kept getting into a deeper and deeper hole with the lie, essentially, not a lie, but how do you go into all that? Why are you required to dredge all that up at every interaction? I don't know. It's hard. And you wrote about it so beautifully. Like that's really your story is compelling and so sad, but also so hopeful. And there's so much love in this book. There's so much love from you. There's so much love from your mom. I mean, when she was, getting beaten up and would just hope for those moments of clarity when the real Kate would sort of show up and just all that she was willing to withstand in that. I mean, there's just so much love amid the pain. And even your, I'm sorry, I just keep talking about all these different, but even just your fear and the way you describe that in the book, I hope I dog-eared that page, but what it feels like to not have a secure environment for yourself, in your own home. I mean, that's also a unique thing that many sort of victims of violence and trauma have gone through. How do you repair from that? Do you feel like you're repairing from that?
I do. I had a lot of people, I'm not sure if you're in this stage yet since your book just came out, but if you're on Goodreads, get off it. I'm telling you that, but I'm on it. I read reviews a lot, which is my worst habit. I check it all the time. My agent was you have to stop reading this. But I had one prickly review that said this book didn't do it for me, but it must have been so therapeutic for her. And I was it's so interesting because I got that comment a lot about how this was hopefully a therapeutic experience. And it was so hard to write the book, going back into that headspace. And, I had kind of recovered from a lot of it. And then I had to go right back and really dig things up. And I say in the acknowledgement section, there's a difference between living something and then trying to make meaning from it. So yes. Trying to look back and say, why did this happen? What did I feel? Now that logic and all thinking, it was just so awful, so hard. And then now that's out in the world and it's kind of a closed book in that sense, it does feel kind of therapeutic. I do feel a lot of it has been resolved for me. I feel I'm at peace with a lot of stuff. And I feel my sister and I are on good terms. I did feel she was helping me along this process. I'm very spiritual, so I felt her presence a lot. And I think that even that was, in the end, kind of a healing experience. But it was one of those healing experiences that really sucks in the in-between.
Yes, process is not pretty.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I had another friend who I lost named Paige, who I wrote about in my book, and 11/11 was so her thing that we had her memorial service at 11/11. That's the time people were called to the service. Anyway, so I related to that as well. Not the book, just my life. Wait, I wanted to see if I could find quickly. I loved this section. Oh, I dog-eared this because I wanted to watch the movie Uptown Girls, which I've never seen, with Brittany Murphy. I was like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I was comparing my sister and I to the characters in that, since I was like younger but more serious and she was more the fun, free-spirited older sister.
Yeah, all of her injuries. Oh my gosh. Oh, I love this thing about how you find tickling odd, because I thought that myself, this is not particularly relevant to the story, but you're like, I've always found tickling kind of odd, how it's both painful and pleasant at once. You're laughing, and at first the burn feels good. It aches like your limbs after a long day at the beach, jumping over waves and exhausted high. But then your muscles contract. You have the distinct feeling of being out of control. A carnival ride that was supposed to be fun, but on a dime has grown terrifying. Some theories claim that tickling may have evolved as an evolutionary defense mechanism. The most vulnerable parts of our bodies are ticklish. Our feet, our armpits, our stomach, sides, and neck. Sorry, my allergies are terrible today. Because we're most sensitive in these spots. If true, this idea purports an innate sense of faith in the person tickling you. Like how a dog will roll over and expose his belly if he trusts his owner. We only reveal our most unguarded selves when we believe them safe. For years, Kate's aggressive behavior still felt like this to me, a game of pretend. Beautiful. And also interesting for anybody else who's struggled with tickling. But then I wanted to read this passage, which was absolutely beautiful. My sister's sanity slipped slowly and quietly, the way you lose a train of thought or slide into a dream at night, there and then not. She lost her edge little by little, an avalanche that picks up one rock and then another, a steady progression, and then in a flash, a tragedy. Uncontrollable, too late. That's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I do think that's also just very true of the experience. Like, it's when you're looking for answers, it is so hard to try to find one answer for these things because there were so many factors, and it's impossible to see the full picture when you're in it and you're experiencing it. And I know that, unfortunately, in our society too, the moms get blamed for everything. So that was one thing I was looking at too, is like, for parents who are going through it right now, like it's so hard. It's so impossible to see what's going on. And there are so few easy answers in this. And I think there's a lot of hope, but yeah.
Not to mention that your mom is working so hard. I mean, it's not just, you can't just look at it in a vacuum. Like, everybody is trying to like keep the whole boat afloat. And in addition to this, right? You can't just, it's not just navel gazing and like sitting there and being able to watch and analyze. Like, life goes on and you have to like provide for the family and do all these other things at the same time. So, oh, this was also beautiful. There's something about our body's reaction to grief that's almost too dramatic to be genuine. We slide down walls, crumpling on hardwood floors. The gravity of loss invents its own rule of physics. We collapse into ourselves, our chest meeting our knees, bringing our heads closer to the ground, like that'll somehow make us feel more solid, more safe, to lie on the warm pavement and press our bodies into the hard earth. Dread encircles your brain, draining the blood from your temples and leaving a fuzziness in its wake like the static of a lost television signal. You want to cover your ears like you used to when your sister teased you as a child, because the truth can't touch you if you don't allow yourself to hear it. It's as if you're a character in a movie watching the action unfold around you. Is my hand really covering my mouth? Why am I pressing my palms against my temple? Do people do that in real life? And if you're anything like me, the nausea comes first, the waiting in the depths of your stomach and the bile that almost rises but decides to fall instead. It's the nausea that never truly fades. It returns now and again when you drive past a bridge or look at an old photo. You think, if only I could puke, if only I could get it out once and for all. Maybe I could dispose of the bad, this feeling, this new reality. It would be cathartic, a release, an escape. Oh, that's one of the best descriptions of grief that I've like ever heard.
Oh,
absolutely beautiful. I'm so sorry you've gone through this, but absolutely beautiful. And by the way, I have also played the game that you played with your friends, the game you called Who Would Cry at My Funeral. I play that in my head all the time. I cannot explain how many times I have played my funeral in my head, so much so that I'm like, maybe I should just have it early. You know, we should all just get this over with, and I'll plan the whole thing, and I'll just like, you know, everybody can do their speeches and be sad, and then I'll be like, surprise, you know, all good. Let's like keep going. But now you don't have to have one later.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, it is interesting. It's like, I do think grief is so universal, but it's one of those unfortunate clubs where you don't get it until you experience it. And then once you experience it, everyone's kind of on the same page. Of how awful it is and what it's really like. And it's a very physical experience. And that's something that I didn't expect personally. It was just how like physically I would feel that heartbreak. I did the nausea. I mean, all those things are, it affects you so much. And for me, when I was writing the book, was just like, you know, how do I communicate this in a way that makes people feel not alone, that they can see themselves in it and it registers for them.
I have a friend who's sick right now. And when we heard about it, I literally told my husband, I was like, I feel like I just like swallowed some sort of toxic chemical, as you said, like it like goes all the way through your body and you just like feel it. And then every time we talk about it, I feel that same kind of, you know, scooping out inside or something with like needles. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Scooping out is a good word for it. You feel very hollow sometimes. I feel like with that.
Well, this is uplifting, you know, I'm sure like this is really what you want to talk about on an early morning. wait, so this book and this, you know, this piece of your life aside, tell me about your life these days. Like, what are you doing? Where are you living? What's your life like? You're marketing a book, but like, what else? And like, where do you want to go from here? And like, what's the happy stuff in your life?
There you go. It's a good segue.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm in New York City right now. I'm not sure you can hear all the sirens outside my window. I'm in New York. I live with a bunch of my friends in college. And I just graduated from Columbia, my MSW in May. So I'm done grad school. And yeah, it's in mental health care and public policy. So I'm hoping that I can use the book as a launching off point for that and try and do more policy work and do, you know, more of the public service in that sense. But I'm also writing my second book right now, which has been really fun. It's fiction. It's totally different. And it's all the best parts of writing without, you know, the horrible personal tragedy element of it. So it's been really great to, you know, kind of pivot that direction. I'm hoping that I can just keep writing books. It's the dream. So fingers crossed that works out.
That's amazing. I don't know if you have any interest. I'm on the board of an organization called the Child Mind Institute. It's about children's mental health and everything. And they do a lot with destigmatization and prevention. And they're trying to find like a biomarker for mental illness early. So you can know what's coming. Anyway, if you're interested in getting involved, even on the policy
side. I love them. They do such good research. They're so, I feel like, on top of it. And they're one of the best, I think, organizations that are trying to address this right now, especially in kids.
Well, I'm happy to put you in touch with the founder if you want to get involved or help.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
No problem. Do you play any sports? Like, what do you do when you're not cerebral?
I actually love pickleball.
Okay.
My mom and I got super into it during the pandemic. We were tennis players growing up and we play a lot of pickle. That's really fun. I'm big on SoulCycle these days.
Nice.
It's something I did not do before. And then when the book was coming out, I think I was just like so stressed out and, you know, anxious about it that I just started going all the time. And now I love it. It's such a good release. And yeah, you know, I'm excited in the city and things are getting better and I live with a bunch of my good friends. So yeah, but lots of positive things going on.
Okay. Thank you. I needed to feel better knowing that you were having a nice life. So thank you for doing that for me. What's your new book called? Can you say?
I don't have a title yet. It's still very early on, but yeah, it's honest. I'm thinking about trying to maybe transition it even towards the YA space.
Oh yes.
More young adult because, you know, I am kind of closer to that age than I'd like to be. And I relate to a lot of things still. And I grew up reading, you know, like John Green and all these big young adult fiction writers, and they kind of shaped me and how I approach writing and reading. And that's so exciting. So that's something that I'm exploring right now.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, maybe one of these days I'll see you in New York. I'm not there now, but I will be in the fall. So be nice to cross paths and everything. And yeah, I have so much respect for you. You're a really, really great writer. And I'm hitching my wagon. I don't even know what the right expression is. I can't wait to watch your progress because I will read everything you write. I think you're great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm so excited for you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. We have a separate talk about the publication process.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So it's like, put it out there because it's a strange experience, but yeah, it's really exciting.
Not to mention having to have people judge up your most painful memories every time you talk about your book, which is also interesting. I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm going here again.
Yeah. You have to steal yourself for a little bit.
And I'm the perpetrator in this case, but you know, not always. So anyway, congratulations and stay in touch.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.